for you this morning a scripture out of the book of Psalms. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I'm going to invite you to turn there with me, or you can grab your phone, or if you're sitting at your computer or got church up on your TV and you want to get your phone, where Psalm 51, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and then I'm going to jump down and read 10 through 12, and we're going to jump in this morning in this Be Renewed season we're in. I think that what we're going to talk about today may be kind of the most important piece of this Be Renewed journey, that there's a sense of what we'll talk about today and kind of this being renewed with a steadfast spirit and how we get to that steadfast spirit, that this is the linchpin, that this is a crucial piece if we're really going to take seriously this Be Renewed journey. So I want to read this text and then we'll jump in and talk about what God is doing. So Psalm 51 verses 1 through 4 and then 10 through 12, let's listen now together to the word of the Lord. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before you. Against you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. And we're going to jump down to verse 10. And it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. This is the word of God. These words are true, and they can be trusted. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, thank you so much for your kindness and your goodness. Lord, thank you for the ways that you're at work among us and in us. Lord, thank you for this season that you have invited not just Foley United Methodist Church into, but this whole community and the community of people who watch our services and participate online, whether they live here in the Foley community or they are scattered all across the world. And Lord, we believe that you are not limited by geography. You are not limited by COVID-19. You are not limited by the struggles of the world around us. And so, Lord, we just enter into these moments as we think about your words and your truth, inviting you to be at work in this renewing journey. Lord, that you would do something in us. And Lord, so frequently in the church, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And God, that's what we want. We want what you want more than what we want. So, Lord, get us out of the way. Do what you need to do. Break up the places that are dark and hard. That we might find life and wholeness and abundance in you and you alone. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children digitally said, amen. And in person, too. Very good. Don't cast a vision until you've done an honest assessment. Don't cast a vision until you've done an honest assessment. Those were words that a mentor friend of mine told me. He told me those words not long after I had come to serve Foley United Methodist Church. Almost 5 years ago now, my family and I moved from Houston, Texas to the Foley area, and we began this journey at Foley United Methodist Church. And in the course of the first few months that we were here, we were so inundated with people loving us and caring for us, catching us up to speed on everything that had happened in the church and wanting to dream together about where we were going. I'll never forget the first summer that I was here. I had a season where I went almost every day, three or four times a week, to a different listening party. 16 homes across our community hosted gatherings of people connected to the church and invited them to come in, and we listened and talked and shared, and people cast these incredible visions of what they believed that God could do in and through this church. I'll never forget coming home in the evening, sitting down at the dinner table, or at the end of the day, telling my wife, Susanna, man, let me tell you about the story that I heard at this place. Let me tell you about this dream that someone shared there. It was amazing. And so in many ways, the season that we're in right now, this Be Renewed season where we see God doing something incredible through in and through this church is a result of what began to happen there. But there was this step that happened in between. Because I was all excited about the vision and the dreams that we were hearing as things were just beginning. And I'll never forget the day that I was talking to a ministry friend of mine and just kind of sharing all that was going on. And he was kind of the loving friend that even though I was so excited and he knew I was excited, he could see that there was something going on that I didn't see. And so he just in a kind of real kind and compassionate way, he said, "Nolan, do not cast a vision until you've done an honest assessment." I didn't quite know what he was talking about, but as he kind of began to explain that a little bit more, he used the image of a doctor who could be sued for malpractice. He said if a doctor went into a hospital room and the patient in the bed said, "We want to run a marathon, we're eager to climb a mountain, we can do all these things," he said, but he didn't pay attention to the injuries or the things that person was dealing with. If they had a broken bone that still needed to be fixed or a heart rate that still needed to be brought into check, he said they could be sued for malpractice, for encouraging them to train for that marathon before they've done the work of taking care of what they're actually dealing with. He said, before you cast a vision, he said, make sure you've done an honest assessment. He said, make sure you've really gotten a picture of where you are. Do kind of what the analogy would say of opening the hood and kicking all the tires, making sure you know everything you're dealing with. He said, because if you don't, he said, all of the vision that you've heard, all of this first summer you've been in Foley, he said, will just be pie in the sky dreams. And he said, and people will be able to rationalize why things aren't working the way they are, or they'll be able to convince themselves that things are better than they are. And he said, unless you start with that honest picture of your current reality, he said, you will never be able to get to the vision that you hear people articulating so clearly. Thankfully, the wisdom that he gave me was something that I took to our church council, and our church council put in place. And the reason that we're standing here today is because we had a team that said, let's stop and check things out first. Let's figure out really where we are, so we'll know what we need to address, so we'll know what we need to do, so we'll know the things that we need to work on that will make that vision a reality. The truth of the matter is, though, is that this isn't really just a truth that applies to churches and new pastors coming to churches. This is a truth that applies in your life. This is a truth that you have experienced, and you do experience day in and day out. Because I bet that there is no one watching this, that if you have ever been to a new doctor, that at some point they either haven't said, well, we're going to need to do a complete physical, or we're going to need to get some charts or records from other places you've been. I know just recently I went to a new doctor, and they give you about 10 sheets of paper, and you have to fill out all your history of, you know, heart disease and cancer and all these things, because they are doing that very truth, that before they want to begin treating you, they want to know what they're dealing with. They want to do an honest assessment of where you are, so that as you come in and say, hey, I'm not feeling well, or there's this issue that I'm dealing with, that they can say, we know exactly where you are, and we can realistically help you get to what it is you want. If you've ever taken your car to a new mechanic, they've probably done a similar thing. Sometimes you may get frustrated because it seems like every time you go to a mechanic, they're like, well, we need to do kind of a whole car check, and they want to charge you an extra $25 or whatever. And it's not always just because they're trying to get some extra money out of you. It's because before they go to treat your car, before they go to work on your car, they want to know all of the things that are dealing with it. I remember when I was new in ministry, the annual conference, the Methodist Church, had someone come. We were just first learning about our retirement accounts and all those kind of things. And the first thing that they challenged us to do is they said, you need to take honest assessment of where you are financially so that then you can set the dreams of what your retirement will look like and how we can move to that. This truth we run into in so many places, that we will never achieve the vision that we want if we don't do an honest assessment of where we are. And this isn't just a church principle or a place you see with a doctor. This is true in every aspect of your life, and it may be the most important truth for you to really find renewal. It may be the most important thing for you to know, to think about renewal. Over these weeks, if you've been with us, then you know that we're all about be renewed right now. I mean, I can hold up all the different things that you've been getting. Hopefully you've gotten a copy of this Be Renewed book, The Giving Discipleship Journey. This is great. I might tell you a little bit more about this in a minute. Today we're giving out a new packet of information. If you're watching at home and you want to make sure that you get a packet that's got this information in it, you can just email FOLEYUMC.org, and in it you're going to get a little more information about what's going on at the church and what it looks like for you to be renewed and some steps that you can take, some good stuff. We don't want you to miss that. We'll drop it in the mail tomorrow, but if you want to guarantee that you get one, email office@FOLEYUMC. But in this season, what we've done is we've taken this vision that came out of that work of stopping and doing the honest assessment, of realizing that God was doing something in our community already, of recognizing, especially in this regard, that God isn't looking to raise up a generation of people who attend religious events or know religious information. That what God is seeking to raise up is a kingdom of his followers. That he is seeking to raise up people whose lives are genuinely transformed. That they go from living by the authority of this world, and that as we've talked about a couple weeks ago, that when they put their faith in Jesus, their old life is literally dying, and they are raising into a new life with Christ, and they are walking in alignment with Christ. And then as we go on that journey, that we will be renewed, that God literally will take us, and that he will transform us from where we are, and he will lead us into this place where we can live with our mind focused on the things above, where we can strive for the things above, where that can be our very essence. All those things, like the peace, joy, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control that we read about in the Bible, those things can be true. And so frequently, I think we find ourselves, and we feel like this friend of mine. This is a letter that I literally got in the mail this week. We feel like this friend of mine, and this is what he says. He says, "For many years, the Bible drove me, quite literally, to tears. It wasn't that I didn't believe it, but I couldn't access it. I couldn't get the written words off the page and into my life. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about not being angry, yet I was angry. He described a life without anxiety, yet I was anxious. And he shared a vision of the kingdom of God where we don't need to judge each other, yet I was judgmental. Perhaps I thought it would be best for everyone if I quietly walked away and quit the church. I was weary from keeping up the pretense. I didn't feel I could sing the songs of triumph anymore, and my Christian smile was beginning to slip. Who would show me how to live an authentic life in all its fullness that I found so attractive in Scripture?" I think for many of us, that's where we are. That's where we are, and that's the piece of the Be Renewed journey that we have to think about. Because unless we'll do an honest assessment, we'll never know the vision of what God wants us to know. Unless we'll be like my friend who will take stock of what's going on in our lives, we'll never live into the vision of the life that God believes in us. So frequently, we just want to kind of skim over things and assume that we could just dream and dream and dream. But like my friend told me about the church, that if we just have this vision and dream, it will be easy for us to rationalize. It will be easy for us to assume that everything's okay. It will be easy for us to think that we're moving into a place that we're not. But once we do that work of assessing where we really are, of recognizing the places in our life that aren't in alignment with what God wants so far, then, and then alone, we have the chance to live into this life of being renewed. Of all the things that we hear in the story of the Old Testament, there are characters that stand out among others. The character of David is one who in the first half of the Bible shows up in many books. His story is recounted all throughout the pages of the Bible. And yet, so frequently with people in the Bible, what we tend to think is that they're some picture-perfect, exemplar person that we should just model everything in our lives about. And with David, there's much of his life that's true, that we can look at him and he is a picture of faithfulness. But David is also a picture of humanity, that he's a picture of a life a lot like ours. And if we track along in the story of David, what we can understand is this idea of what it means to get honest about where we are so that we can live into the vision of what it is that God alone wants for us. For much of David's life, he lived a picture of faithfulness. Maybe his story is somewhat like yours, that you can think back to your teenage days or childhood days, or maybe as a college student or your young adult, that there were seasons in your life where it felt like you were close with God, where you were active and involved in lots of things, you were around people, and you were living a Christian life in a way that felt rewarding and life-giving and easy and comfortable. And like David, he continued to take God seriously and try and live a life of faithfulness. It's in those early days that we can find the story of David conquering the giant Goliath, where he puts his faith solely in God, that God alone can beat his enemies, and he lives into that truth, and he sees God give great victory. David becomes the king. He seeks to be obedient. Even in a moment where he had the chance to vanquish an enemy who was out to get him, he opted for a life of integrity that said, I will obey what the Lord has called me to far more than seeking vengeance on my own. But yet the story of David is a lot like all of our stories. Because in David's story, it wasn't that something began to flip overnight. It wasn't a switch that just went off that said, all of a sudden, everything is gone. That I'm just going to do away with that life of faithfulness to the Lord. For David, it was a gradual decline. And what ended up happening was this: one choice led to another. One rationalization led to another. One piece of comfort led to another. And before he knew it, he had derailed his life and made a mess of his life that was such that impacted other people and himself for years to come. He didn't make a conscious choice one day to go, I'm going to reject everything that God wants. He just began to let time and power and resources and the voices of social media and the way of the world and what everyone else around him was doing begin to influence him just a little bit more. And before he knew it, he found that his life had become nothing, that it missed out on connection to God, that his joy was gone, that his heart was burdened, that his eyes were blinded to seeing where God was at work, that nothing in his life seemed to be what it was. And for all the struggle that David was going on, he was oblivious to this in his own life, that he had just kept making one decision after another that sought his own comfort. He had just made a rationalization to say, well, this is what everyone is doing. He had just decided, oh, I can do this. It won't be that bad this time. And before he knew it, he found himself living in a life that was numb, that was empty, that was missing out on all that God wanted him to know. He lived in this place not recognizing the struggle that he was going through. I bet, knowing the faithfulness that David had lived, that he probably went to church in the midst of this season. He probably kept wearing his Jerusalem UMC Loves You t-shirt. He was probably engaged in lots of things, and he saw all the people that he normally saw. But yet inside, something had changed. Inside, his eyes were blinded to what was going on. Inside, his life had become distracted and numb. He knew no joy. He knew no peace. He knew this faithfulness that he had lived with God was all taken away. It took a friend coming alongside of him and in a loving way holding up a mirror to him figuratively so that he could see what was going on in his life before he came to grips with the fact that his life was out of alignment with God. It took this journey and a friend who was willing to come and say the tough things, much like my mentor did to me, to grab him even when he was living his life the way he wanted to and say, something is amiss. And you need to take stock of where you are. And it was in that moment when David recognized how far he had varied off of the course that he wanted, how far his life was from God, that he was able to come and pray those words that I read to you just a few minutes ago. Once he had awareness of where he was, once he took stock of the brokenness in his own life, once he realized that he had anger and struggle and pain and judgmentalism and that there were these things going on, then and then only, could he come and say, Lord, forgive me? We want to keep confession and forgiveness, these kind of carte blanche things that we're like, yeah, I prayed that once, or you know, maybe I'll tack it on to the end of the prayer of, Lord, forgive me. But what we see in David is that it's only when we get honest about the specific places in our life that then renewal becomes possible. That in those moments when David had that friend lovingly come to him and say, there are some things that you have to take stock of, and that David did that and he began to live this introspective, reflective life to say, here are the places where I'm out of alignment with God. Here are the places where I need God to work. Here are the places that I confess I haven't done what God wanted. It was only then that he could come and he could begin with heartfelt apology to come to God and say, God, I have sinned. I need your forgiveness. That like the river that we just sang about, that he could say, wash me and clean me. That the impurities could be taken away. And it's after he had confessed and owned the fact that God would be completely justified in his judgment, that then he could pray those lines. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. I think all of us, when we hear the vision of renewal, when we hear this idea of we're going to be renewed, even when we hear the vision, we want to live into a life of discipleship that says we're going to be transformed and we're going to live with our mind focused on the things above, living in the way of Jesus, that we all say, yes, I want that. But so frequently we miss it because we're not willing to take an honest assessment of where we are first. And the truth that's true in the church and that's true in your life when you go meet a new doctor, that's true when you do meet a financial planner or when you get your car checked out, is also true for renewal. That you will not know renewal until you are honest about where you are. You will not know the vision of renewal. You cannot step into renewal until you own the fact that there are places in your own life that are out of alignment with God. As long as we keep it as the distant, as long as we rationalize, as we continue to think that everything's okay, then we can never begin to take steps towards what it is that God wants us to give. But only when we'll hold that mirror up, only when we'll allow a friend to come alongside us, only when in our Be Renewed group we'll begin to say, it's okay to share these kind of things, that then we can begin to see the places where God wants to work. I think so frequently that confession and judgment gets a bad rap in the church because we've attached shame and judgment to them. That we think if we admit that I'm fearful or I'm angry, or if, like my friend wrote, that I'm anxious or I judge other people or I don't think kindly of these folks or I say these kind of things or I do this, and that if we admit those things, that somehow that Jesus will be mad at us or other people will wag their fingers at us. And yet what we find is that it's the complete opposite of who God is. That's the complete opposite of what happens when we vulnerably share. People don't look at us and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe you shared. They look and say, you're brave and courageous. Jesus never wagged his finger at someone who confessed and owned their own sin in their own life. It's amazing. The only time Jesus ever condemns or critiques someone is when they assume that they have no brokenness in their life. When they assume that they've done nothing wrong. Jesus invites us into a place where we're honest about what it is in our own lives. And that as we begin to be honest about that, that we can embrace his truth. That we can embrace his life. That we can invite his work and partner with him. And that through that, we will be transformed into this reality that we all so desperately want to know. As we're in the midst of this Be Renewed season, what we want for our church, what we want for individuals, what we want for our whole community, what we want for every one of you who watches this, whether you're watching right now or whenever you watch it, is that you would know the fullness of life that God wants for you. We long and are committed that we will not be an organization of religious event attenders. We long and are committed that we will not just be people who know lots of information about religious or Christian type things. We long to be followers of Jesus, who live in the way of Jesus, who live our lives the way Jesus would live our lives if Jesus was living our life. But that cannot happen until we take honest assessment of where we are. It cannot happen if we want to continue to believe that everything's okay and that dream is just out there and that we're on the way to it. We will only know renewal when we begin to live in this place of honest, self-authentic reflection and confession of what it is in our own lives. What would it look like for you to find a space? What would it look like for you to create a space where you could be honest? What would it look like for you when this service is over and you close your computer down or turn the television off to take 15 minutes and just sit and be? What would it look like to begin to say, Lord, I just want to be honest with you. You know all these things already. What would it look like to tell a friend, hey, these are the things. I know I'm angry. I know my temper gets the best of me. I know I tend to look down on people who don't look like me. What would it look like to go to a friend, a loved one, and not to ask them to fix you, but to say, hey, could you help me see things in my life that I can't see already? Could you help me see how my temper gets the best of me? Could you help me see how sometimes I come across defensive and I don't even recognize it? Could you help me see how I tend to be living in fear? All of those help us take stock of where we are. All of us, it allows us to become more honest with where we are. Because if we want to reach the vision of what God has for us, we have to be honest about where we are. I believe that God desperately wants to renew us all. I believe that God desperately wants to grow us more and more into the image of the Creator. That he wants our character to reflect him. But as David shows us, we will not get to that point until we're honest about the places in our own lives that are out of alignment with who he wants us to be. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Pray with me, please. I'm going to invite you, just as we come to the end of our worship time together, just to take a moment of silence right where you are. Just take a deep breath in. Sometimes it's easy to hear a message like this, and that voice is already working in your spirit that says something's wrong with you, that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy, you're not valuable, you've got this wrong, you can't do this. And so wherever you are, I just want you to, if you hear that voice, or if you think that voice might, that inner critic might get a hold of you, I just want you to pray with me right now. Just say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I reject that voice. Lord, I welcome your voice. I welcome your truth. I just pray, come, Holy Spirit. And then just silently, you might begin to say, Lord, I confess. I know that my life is not aligned fully with yours. And maybe there's something that comes to mind right where you are. Maybe it's some anger or a temper. Maybe it's defensiveness. Maybe it's some people you can't really tell the truth to. You can't say what you think or feel or believe around some people. And so you're withholding and you're not being honest. Maybe there's anxiety, like my friend. Maybe there's judgmentalism. And you might just say those things to God and say, Lord, you already know all this, but I just want to be honest that these are the places where I'm struggling. And then as you confess those things, I just invite you to pray those two lines of Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Lord, I just pray even right now that you would begin to move impurities out. And as people are honest about where they are in their own life, as they seek you, as they seek honest and authentic relationship with other people, Lord, I pray you would do a work of renewal in individual lives, people who are on the other side of a screen right now, or people who will see this. And Lord, we pray that across all of the people called Foley United Methodist Church. We pray that across South Baldwin County. We pray that across this whole world, Lord, that you would do a renewing work. Lord, we pray for awakening in big and powerful ways. And God, we just ask that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Lord, even in this moment, right now as someone is praying, would you touch a life and change someone in such a way that we could only give glory to you? Lord, create in us clean hearts. Renew a right spirit in us. Lord, help us take an honest assessment of where we are. Help us courageously share the truth about what's inside of us, that we might know your wholeness and your life and your joy in ways that we will never know any other way. Lord, we love you and we bless you and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.